Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
Dad turned to me, and I don't know why he said this, but he said, "You know, Cedric, nobody's ever going to have to take care of us. Neither of us will ever have to go to a nursing home." And, you know, I'm thinking, wow, thank you. You know, that's a great statement. And, you know, for my dad, you know, when your dad talks, I mean, it's just like he's the authority. He somehow knows, you know. And he said that, and at first I thought, well, you know, in a way that's kind of arrogant, but in a way I was thinking, wow, he really trusts. That's great. Well, he dropped me off that night, went back to the monastery to go to bed. You know, we were going to start the mission that next morning. I get a call in the middle of the night. My dad died of a heart attack that night. I was burst into tears. We had no warning, 76 years old, you know, healthy man as far as we knew. He had high blood pressure, but that was it. And now I've just lost my biggest supporter and my best friend. And it happened right before the mission I preached here about a year, right? And it was in October of 2001. Or October 2000. So I just, you know, and then that thought came back to me about our final conversation. And he said, nobody's going to have to take care of us. And it turned out true, you know, in his case, and I'm hoping it's going to turn out true in my case. Am I saying that if you trust, see, Dad trusted. Am I saying that if you trust that you won't end up in a nursing home? No. Because, you know, good people end up in nursing homes and hospitals and accidents and tsunamis and everything else. No, but I am saying trust God wherever you are, in the hospital, in the nursing home, when you have high blood pressure. And somehow, some way, God's going to work it out. And God will take care of you. It's interesting. When I went to the hospital, I met with the doctor, you know, and I was in shock. My mom was in shock, you know, and the doctor came up to me and he said something very interesting. I'll never forget that morning. He said, you know, he gave me the time that Dad died, and he said, you know, your father, there was no death struggle. And at the time, I didn't really reflect on what he meant, but I remembered what he said. And I've since thought about it. There was no death struggle. And at that moment, I thought, well, you know, that's a beautiful thing to say. He didn't fight it. But then as I thought about it, you know, Dad was the type that surrendered throughout his life. You know, you fathers, you surrender. You surrender when you have children. You surrender when you get married. You surrender when you work, you mothers too. You surrender when you have children. When you get married, you're trusting your spouse that they're not going to betray you. You're trusting when you have children that they're going to bring you joy and God will help them. You know, there's a tremendous surrender. So my dad was, you know, he surrendered when he married my mom and when he had us and when he became a carpenter and did all that work. When he was in the Navy, he actually was disabled. Something happened to his eye, and he lost his left eye in the war. And he had to surrender that and the suffering that that brought him. He was used to surrendering. So therefore, you know, at that moment of his death, he was trusting and in surrender, and he didn't fight it. He gave himself to God. I remember Jesus on the cross as he was hanging there. He quoted Psalm 31. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I entrust my spirit." So here's this man who always preached about trust, always invited people to the providence of God, to God's care, in the moment of his deepest suffering, saying, "Father, I trust you." And then, of course, he yielded his spirit to God. And so I wrote a book called Death, the Final Surrender. And my premise in the book is this: we are going to die as we live. If we live in trust, and if we live in abandonment, if we live in surrender, then at the moment of our death, our transition will be beautiful. It'll be without struggle. It'll be a giving of ourselves to God. But if we're always grasping for control, if we're living in anxiety and fear, you know, if we're kind of stuck somewhere, you know, stuck with self, there's going to be a struggle. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the type that lets go and falls into God's hands and leans on God and allows God to lead me and guide me. And I have to just tell you a little bit more about this book really quickly. Some of you have commented to me that you've read this since I've been here. It's called Death, the Final Surrender. Back when I was 18 years old, I had this, what I can only describe as a near-death experience. And I wasn't even sick. I didn't get into an accident. God took me. And he took me to himself. And I went through this tunnel. And as I was journeying through this tunnel, I knew that I was going where I go when I die. And I experienced this glorious light and this providential love. And God spoke to me. And he said that I needed to change my life. You see, I was living the life of a rabble-rousing teenager. And I came back, and I was different. I wept, I cried, just like a little baby that's born. I was born again. And I started to learn the virtue of surrendering. But anyway, I wanted to tell you in this book, some of you are afraid about what's going to happen when you die. And what I discovered and what God showed me, and I think for a reason, so I could proclaim it to you, and this book says it explicitly, Death, the Final Surrender, that death isn't the end. It's a transition. It's a moment of change. It's a journey through the tunnel. And we're used to going through tunnels. We came through a tunnel when we were born into this life, our mother's womb. When we go on an airplane, we go through a tunnel. We get on the airplane, we go out of a tunnel. It's a new reality. Same way when we die, it's no need to be afraid. It's going to be different. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be a change. But what I'm saying is that we don't need to fear. We don't have to be anxious. Some of you have been so worried about what's going to happen when I die. Your Father's going to take care of you. That's why Jesus, even on the cross, could pray that. Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. See, I think fear of the future is one of the great fears that people have. So I want to tell you, trust God for your future. And I also want to say that, you know, as we journey through life, I'm a realist. You know, a lot of people think, you know, when somebody dies, you know, what's going on here or what's happening in my life? Why all this tragedy? Why did I lose my spouse? We got to be real, folks. You know, this may hurt. This may sting a little bit. But the bottom line is, you know, I'm not trying to scare everybody. We're all going to die. And that's a reality. So the church doesn't hide from that. The church proclaims victory in death. And I'm simply saying tonight, there's not even a need to be afraid of death, because Jesus has more than conquered death. And we've got resurrection to look forward to. And of course, life eternal in heaven. So what I'm saying is that, you know what, a lot of people have the idea as Catholics or as Christians that as we walk with the Lord, that it's going to be a cakewalk. You know, I said, just a closer walk with thee. Oh boy, you know, there was a movie out some time ago called A Walk in the Clouds. You know, it's going to be a walk in the clouds here. Well, that's not necessarily so. And so what happens is when storms blow into people's life, trials, death, adversity, hardships, they wonder what's going on. And you know what the Bible teaches about that? It says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you as if it's only happening to you. That's 1 Peter. That's our first pope telling us this. It was meant to test us and to try us so that our faith would be fire-tried gold. So in other words, what he was saying is that it's normal to have to go through things. And what I've discovered about God is this. He doesn't always take us around, you know, on this trust walk. He doesn't always take us under or above, but he takes us through. Even though, we heard this on Sunday, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. How can we do it? Because he is with us. And that's the awesome thing. He is with us to lead us and to guide us through. And we don't have to be afraid. We can go through anything and everything. And, you know, I've discovered that that's the way we grow. We grow in trust. That's how we gain trust, is by going through. And not everything is easy in life, but we can go through. And as I said, here's Jesus on the cross, suffering, but God was with him, and he entrusted himself. So I want to tell you, you know, whatever you're going through right now, don't think that it's abnormal. Now, I remember back a little while ago when the tsunami hit This is, I think, the day after Christmas. 250,000 people died at one moment. That was, you know, I don't know if you've reflected about that, but wow, what was that? And then, of course, you know, we've just had two major hurricanes hit the United States. Katrina, Rita, I've been down there. I've seen some of the devastation. I've been with the evacuees at the Astrodome in Houston. It's a terrible, terrible, bitter thing. Then yesterday in the news, we hear about Pakistan. What, 30, 40,000 people in an instant killed? Then the mudslides in Guatemala, you know, all these different things that are going on in the face of the earth. Well, I remember what happened right after the tsunami. I was thinking to myself, you know, these 250,000 people, these are good people. You know, and what does this mean? People are asking me, what does this mean? Is this the end of the world? If you were here this morning, I was talking about that. No, it's not the end of the world. But it calls us to trust and to question. And I remember thinking to myself, okay, what does this mean for me? I'm a man of faith. I love the Lord. But there was a lot of people that had faith and loved the Lord who got killed. So what's going on? And here's what God spoke to me. And it took me about a month to get this. As I struggled with my future, even though I know that death is only a transition and it's going to be glorious, I think the fear is we don't know how we're going to die. And that's what scares us. And I remember, you know, when all that was going on, I was praying to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit spoke something to me that so comforted me. And this is what the Holy Spirit said. Cedric, instead of concentrating on a hypothetical, what if, how's it going to happen, future, concentrate on a providential past. What does that mean? If you were to get up here, there are so many stories in this room right now, miraculous stories of how God has protected you and led you. And, you know, as I look at some of you are almost twice as old as I am. And I mean, the stories that you could tell, you know, how God has protected you through wars, through accidents, through tribulations. You know, some of you younger folks aren't quite sure yet, but the bottom line is, the Holy Spirit was telling me, look at how I have protected you and led you and providentially loved you through your past. And instead of just concentrating on what may be, on a hypothetical future, and of being anxious and afraid, look at how I've blessed you in the past and right now, and trust me for the future. And if we can just let go and understand that even the hairs on our head are counted. God has led you in providence in the past. What do you think, he's going to leave you? And yeah, there's all kinds of different things going on in the world right now. But he loves you, and he's with you, and he will never, ever fail or forsake you. So the first area we need to trust God is our future, our death. What's going to happen? And we have to trust that as God has been with us in the past, he's going to continue to be with us in the future. And he will never, ever fail or forsake us. And that's what Jesus was preaching about that day. So he said, live one day at a time. You know, that's an AA saying. One day at a time. How do they stay sober? How do they stay in recovery? One day at a time. They have another bumper sticker that I've seen. Take it easy. I love that. You know, quit being anxious, quit being all frazzled, quit being frustrated. So the first area we really need to trust in God is in our future. Second area, really quickly, relationships. You know, my mother is now 81 years old, and she's been widowed now for 5 years. She lives alone in Florida. My sister lives about 10 minutes away, but she lives alone. She's got the house that Dad built. She lives alone. She's got arthritis. She's diabetic, she's got hip problems, and she's overweight. And she's 81 years old. You don't think I don't worry about her? You know, you've got relatives. You've got children, your spouses, you know, some of you, your parents. And we worry about them. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with Mom? Is it going to be like with Dad? Dad said to me, you know, no, we are never going to have to go to a nursing home. She didn't say anything about Mom, Dad. Come on, you know, what's going to happen with her? Well, you know, I don't know about my mom and what's going to happen, but as God has spoken to me, trust in my providence. And what I've discovered about Mom and what I've heard a lot of people pray, You know, we can be believers but not trusters, and there's a difference. We believe in God, but we don't trust in Him. And what I mean is, we can pray something like that: please take care of my mother, or please bring my children back to the faith, or please make this happen for my son. And that's begging instead of, thank you, Father, that you're taking care of Mom, that you love her more than I do, and that you have a plan for her life and for her death, and you are going to protect her. Or thank you, Father, that even though my child has left the faith right now, that you're at work in their life, that you love them more than I do, and I know you do, and I'm believing for great things. Or thank you, Father, that even though I don't know my future, your dreams for me are going to come to be, and I believe for great things. See, there's a difference there between believing in God and not really trusting, and believing in God and trusting. And you all remember the story of St. Monica. St. Monica, of course, had a child, Augustine. Augustine was a rabble-rouser, and, you know, he was always out drinking and, you know, with the girls and partying and fighting and doing all these different things. Monica wouldn't give up. I mean, she stayed in trust, and she believed God for him, and she trusted God, and she kept opening her heart to God, and eventually Augustine became one of the greatest saints of the church. So what I'm simply saying is that we need to trust God in our relationships, because we all care for people so much. You know, those in our own family, those in our neighborhood, those certainly in our community. And there's a way of believing God without trusting, and there's a way of believing God and trusting. And don't be a beggar, be a believer. Be a truster and watch what happens. Because I believe that when you trust, it opens up a door for God to work. And just like God's providence is working in your life, God's providence, through your trust, will work in powerful ways in the people that you love. And I love what Philippians 4 says. In everything, what's your everything, and anything, with prayers, petitions, in supplications, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your minds and hearts in Christ Jesus. So what is that verse saying? It's saying that in everything, in your circumstances, in your relationships, in your future, in your own bodies, you know, in everything that you're going through, in anything, lift it up to God in trust, and God's peace will keep you. You don't have to live anxious and worried and fearful and all upset all the time. We're talking about trust. I mean, this is the biblical way to be close to God and to allow God to work in our life. And then really quickly, the third area I believe that we need to trust God. First of all, our future. Second of all, our relationships. And there's many more. You need to trust God for forgiveness, for salvation, that He walks with you all the time. There's many different areas, but three main areas I want to talk about tonight. The third area is in our everyday life. We need to trust God every day for the things that are going on. And to be honest with you, you know, as you sit here tonight, there's, what, 300 different stories going on here? All kinds of different things. Multitude of relationships. All kinds of circumstances. Varying levels of health. You know, different people going through different things. And there's all kinds of trials and adversities, all kinds of joys and happiness, too. But there's a multitude of different things that are going on in the everyday that we need to trust. How about, for example, our dreams? You know, I was thinking about my own life. Just to let you know, I've always had a dream of preaching outside the walls of a church. You know what I mean? I love to preach to you. You're believers. I mean, you're good people. You love the Lord. But I mean, I want to evangelize the lost. I want to reach out to teenagers. I want to really help people that aren't believers, and I want to proclaim the gospel to them. Well, how do you do that? Well, I'll tell you, one of the greatest ways to do it is media and TV. So I've been dabbling in that. I was on one of the religious TV stations this year. You know, I had an interview, I did some preaching, came out really well, got some opportunities from that. And I actually went so far as to record a program, a pilot program called Live with Passion. And here, you ever see those guys on TV, you know, they start, welcome to my program, and we're glad to have you with us, and I have some live preaching to show you from, it was in Chico, California. So I did that in studio down in Los Angeles and invited people to come, you know, to watch and had the live preaching from Chico. Then when we came back, I said, hey, you know, I hope you enjoyed the message, and I know this can impact your life, and I have this book for you. Please donate, you know, $15. That was one of those things, okay? Did a whole half an hour program. Live with Passion. Well, it came out beautifully. And it was just done this summer. So, given it to EWTN. You know, EWTN. Watch out, you might see me one day on there. Given it to TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I'm in dialogue with a couple other networks about this. And so, now it's been over a month since I've heard from them. Actually, you know, a month since I've submitted it, my pilot program. And, you know, of course you start to get anxious. You know, what's their answer going to be? Are they going to accept me? Do they want me on their network? You know, is it totally a broken dream? Or what's going to happen here? And I have had to live in trust. And I mean, just relying on God, depending on God with this. And recently I got an answer from both of them, not a total answer, but an answer that they're working on it, they're still viewing it, and they're going to be getting back to me. Oh, thanks, you know, it's like, I'm waiting for this. And here's what I've discovered. I'm trusting God, you know, for my future, for my dreams. And what I'm trusting is this. I'm trusting that God is going to make the best thing happen according to God's will. It may not be God's will for me to be on TV. And if that's true, I accept that. But I tried my best, and I worked hard, and I took responsibility, and I did what I'm called to do. You know, if I'm on TV, I might get a big head. I might find one of these beautiful blondes and end up marrying her or something. It may not be good for me, right? So, you know, you never know. Sometimes what you're praying for and hoping for may not be what God's will is for you. So when you're trusting God, be open to all kinds of answers here, okay? But I'm also trusting God that if it is His will, it's not only going to happen, it's going to explode. And I mean, millions of people are going to be touched by the gospel. You might be saying, Father Cedric, you have big dreams. Yeah, I serve a big God. See, God can do anything and everything. Remember what Jesus taught? Nothing is impossible with God. So, I mean, we've got to live in trust, and we've got to live in faith, and we've got to be active with our trust. So that's part of my everyday. You know, I'm living like that day to day, waiting, hoping, expectant, confident, depending, relying. And then, of course, what about, you know, the everyday stuff that happens, you know, in other areas? So I first talked about our dreams and our hopes. Other areas have to do with just, you know, mundane things like driving. I remember I was in Lake Charles, Louisiana about a month ago playing golf. Now, I'm there playing golf, you know, and having a good time, except, you know, we were a twosome, and there were five guys in front of us, and one of them was a touring pro, so we ain't playing through these guys. I mean, it was like, they're the big group, the owner's there, the touring pro, you know, everybody right in front of us. And I mean, it was slow, and I hate playing slow, and I get frustrated. By the way, you know, one of the things about trials and adversities, when they come our way, just to let you know, you can grow in trust, but it shows you what's in you. For example, the image I like to use is, you know, you have a tube of toothpaste. You never really know what's in it until you squeeze it. And when it's squeezed, you see what comes out. Well, the same way, it's like with us. You know, you never really know what's in you until you get squeezed. So I'm on the golf course getting squeezed. You know, I mean, impatience is coming out and frustration. Finally, okay, we finished the round. And now, you know, it's taken at least over an hour longer than it should have taken. And see, part of trust is you're not in control. Your life, all the hairs on your head is counted. And you have to understand that life does two things. It shows you what's in you, and it's also an opportunity to trust. Even being delayed in traffic. I know that doesn't happen in Grass Valley, but even being delayed in traffic and red lights and stop signs and things like that. That's right. It's an opportunity to trust. And then really quickly, what about relationships? I'm talking about the everyday stuff that we need to trust God in. You know, certainly our future, certainly, you know, our beloved relationships, but what about other relationships? You know, I live in a community of eight guys, two seminarians, six priests in Houston. And I must say, you know, I moved to Houston 4 years ago. It's growing on me. It's becoming home for me. I really like it. I used to live in Sacramento for 10 years. But it's interesting. It just seems like in every community I go, there's always one guy that I struggle with. You know, that one difficult person, that one irritating person. And it can't be me. You know, it's always them, you know. Well, anyway, this one priest was treating me very harshly. He wasn't really talking to me. He was giving energy to anybody else but me. And I'm going, you know, what is going on? Why is he? I would go back to my room, and I would resent that son of a gun. And I would be angry. I'd You know what passive aggression is? You avoid him because that's the way he is. And, here I am, a leader, spiritual leader, trying to pray, and, I feel this. Remember what toothpick, when you're being squeezed, that's what comes out. See, that's what circumstances do. They bring out what's in you so that you can see it and hopefully change. That's one of the first steps in change. You have to see what's in you before you can confront what's in you. I finally humbled myself recently, about a month ago, after living with him for 4 years. It took me a while. Remember, I'm a type A controller. And I went to him in a community meeting, and I said, Father, we don't get along, and I want to. I really do. And if there's anything I'm doing that's causing this friction, let's talk about it. And then he got so humble. It was beautiful. I always thought that he'd be offended or something, with this confrontation thing. He comes up to me and he says, Cedric, if there's anything I've done, let's tell me, and I don't want to accuse him of anything because I just want to get along with him. And now it's wonderful. I used to avoid breakfast because I didn't even want to be with him. Now it's like I go to breakfast, we talk about things. It's really wonderful. So what I'm saying is that I was trusting God that when I went to him, God would bring something good out of that. And he brought something very good out of that. I lost my resentment. I lost my anger. I lost my bitterness. And I got a new friend. And it's awesome. And so I'm saying that trust sometimes is passive. Like in the car going, Lord, I trust you. There's nothing I can do about this. But sometimes trust is active. Now, I'm not telling you that you got to confront everybody in your life that you have aught with. But maybe God's calling you to that, maybe not. That's up to you to decide. I love that serenity prayer. You've heard it, Reinhold Niebuhr. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So that's what we're talking about here tonight, folks. The serenity to accept life on its own terms, and not to have to control everything, but to trust God.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.